This is Paul saying how you live in love. You know, I'd like to tell you I said something really important beside there, but I didn't. He's saying this is how you live in love. You care for the other. And that means reveling really means it's loud and disturbing sound that doesn't care for anyone else but you. Stop that. Debauchery, it's the desire for the bed that is forbidden. Really, it's going after what you know you should not go after. Licentiousness, there's a reason we don't use this word very much. It means being lost to shame. Did you get that? Being lost to shame and all your bad habits and not even caring if anyone knows anymore. And quarreling, it means more than just kind of nagging at each other. It means the kind of contentious fighting that is always seeking me and only me. So put those ones aside. Start living in a way that loves the neighbor. Live in a way of honor. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh for these kind of bad behaviors to gratify its desires. And now we will sing the response. He became... that at 52, I have become a bit of a curmudgeon on things. Now, the ones down here think 52 is ancient. Some of you do. Some of you are thinking, really, you're young. But today, I feel old. And I feel old because I have found myself being grumpy about things in public. Like people walking around in their pajamas in the middle of the day. I went to the post office on Pine, which will make you grumpy just going there. I'm in there, it's about 1 o'clock, I'm playing solitaire on my phone to kind of make myself less grumpy, and I look at the woman in front of me. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and she is wearing her pajamas full on. These are pink with pigs on them, and she's got her slippers. And I think to myself, what has the world come to? Now, I'm not totally against pajamas outside. I mean, like, if you have to get your paper or put the mail down or get something, you run out of your door really quick and no one sees you, that is understandable. But I'm talking about wearing your pajamas in the middle of the day, walking down the streets, doing your shopping, going to Staples next door. It's kind of like our nighttime. Our sleep time has crept into the middle of the day and beyond. And I hold that image on an experience I had with an older adult in one of my churches. He had just retired from being a principal for longer than God could remember. And I went to go see him, and I rang the doorbell, and there he is in a button-down shirt and a tie. And I say, are you just leaving to go someplace? And he says, no. And I said, were you expecting me and you thought you had to dress up for the pastor? And he said, no. And I said, aren't you retired? Don't you want to relax a little bit? Wear some jeans? I mean, just kind of relax. And he said, no, I already tried that. I bought a number of track suits. Now, some of you may not know what a track suit is. That means a pair of sweatpants and a hoodie. And he goes, I wore them every day. I bought like 3 new pairs of tennis shoes, and I put them on, and I kind of became a slug. I'd sit on the couch, and I'd watch the sports channel, and I'd be there for hours. I began not to expect much of myself, and not much happened. I became lazy. I started to act like my life was done and over. The best was in the past, and I had nothing to do but just wait for it to be over. And then I thought, I've had enough of this. And so I started dressing again in my button-down shirts and my ties, and I began to expect something of myself, and things began to happen. I began to meet the future head-on, and I kind of woke up out of this complacency. And then he said with a wink, "But I haven't gone too far, because you see, I'm still wearing the tennis shoes." He said, "Life is moving faster these days." See, I think Paul, who wrote the Gospel of Romans, is saying, stop wearing your pajamas, your sweatpants, in the middle of the day. Put on your active daytime clothes and just get to it. See, Paul is saying to this group of early believers, you know what time it is. Now is the moment for you to awake from your sleep. The night is gone, the day is near. Lay aside the works of darkness and put on the clothing, the armor of light. Come and be a morning person. And it's not just kind of waking up out of your sleep and going through the motions. Now, not like you're just wearing your PJs in public. Paul was saying, wake up, rise up, put on the new clothes, and do something different. Live in a new way. Be morning people. Be ready. Be hopeful. Be expectant. See, Paul was writing to a church of people who were waiting. It's probably written about 4 or 5 decades after Christ's resurrection, and they thought Jesus was going to come back in a couple of years, and their excitement had begun to cool down. Their commitment was kind of becoming limp. They started to look not much different than the people around them. And Matthew kind of gives us a hint that they were focusing on and spending too much energy trying to figure out when Jesus would come back again. They were doing calculations because they thought that I'm going to be good maybe 3-4 days before, and then I'll be ready. And he's saying, you're spending too much time doing calculations and not enough at the task that you're to be about. You're wasting time on what they really would never know. Instead, Paul says, stay awake. Be ready. Be expectant. Live in a sense of hope and trust that we may indeed be surprised by the sudden presence of God. Well, it was hard to wait 40 or 50 years. Really, what are we supposed to do 2,000 years later? I mean, it's not really like we are kind of asleep. We've kind of become complacent. We've become those slugs on the couch of life. See, Advent is a wake-up call. It's an invitation to live under a different calendar, under God's calendar, when we focus on, we prepare for, we explore what it means to have a God who loves not only us, but is among us as Jesus Christ. In other words, it's time when God will disrupt our time, when God takes over, and that God is in the midst of us. And this Advent, we remember the birth of the Christ, but we also long for the return. See, Advent is kind of odd. It's about remembering the birth story of the baby Jesus, but not really just focusing on the past. We don't leave that baby in the manger, oh, cute and manageable. Sometimes it'd be better than that grown-up man that made people uncomfortable and still does today. Now, Advent is the time of year, our time to hear the wake-up call. It's like we've been pushing that the snooze button again and again. In a while, God, in a while, and it's now. No. It's time to wake up. Dag Hammarskjöld, who was involved in the United Nations like in 1961, said, this was his prayer, for all that has been, thanks, and for all that will be, yes. That's what Advent people pray. For all that has been, thanks, and for all that will be, yes. It's like Augustine, another big hit in the 3rd century, who wrote a book called Confessions, which is actually still in print, so it tells you it's pretty good. And he was pondering about, should he become a Christian or not? Should he be faithful and obedient to God? And his prayer was, let me be faithful and obedient, but not yet. He really did pray that, not yet, because he had a mistress and life was pretty good. He said, I want to be a Christian, but not yet. And he was in his backyard kind of contemplating things, and he heard some children playing a game in the next garden over. And part of the game was the words, take and read, take and read, take and read. And he just kind of opened his Bible, and he opened it, and guess what he got? He got this passage from Romans 13. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably and do not be in reveling and drunkenness and all this. And he said, uh-oh, this is God's word. And that day he prayed that he would be obedient, that he would be a citizen of the light, to be a morning person, to put on the armor, the clothing of light, the garment of love. Not yet became right now. And so Paul talks about putting on the armor of light. And it's not like armor like, you know, medieval helmet and all that. It's armor is kind of being strengthened. It's clothing of light. People who heard this would have remembered, oh, he's talking about baptism. You know, back in the day, when people would be baptized, they'd put aside their regular clothes, they'd go into the water, and when they came out, they'd get a new set of white clothes. And those white clothes would remind them that they were part of the body of Christ, that they were a new thing. And so Paul is saying, put on your Advent clothing. He didn't know it, but put on your baptism clothing. Live like you're expecting something new. It's time to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's an interesting love. It means love that does not do wrong for the other. And it doesn't mean sentimental, emotional, kind of squishy feelings. No, love in the New Testament here is love of action. Love because God first loved us with this stunning grace that we didn't deserve, and then came enfleshed in the world so that we might understand God better. It means that we're not satisfied with the way things are, that we get to take part in this restoration of bringing light into the world. And so I put those blue cards back in your bulletins. You did these about 2 weeks ago. I will act in service for God's big dream of the world, that you're going to actually do something, that you're just not going to sit at home on your couch in your pajamas. You're going to get out in the world. And when you go downstairs today, there are people that are going to tell you about some ways you can be involved, you can make a difference. Anyone who's going to talk about those things, raise your hand. I see you out there. Glenda, some of you, see these people? Yes. You go talk to them, and they will tell you how you get to walk in the light, how you get to be about the transformation. You get to wake up this Advent. Did you hear that? Wake up. It's like Will Willimon once said, perhaps about it's because of my advanced age. He said, I've clearly got more yesterdays on my account than tomorrow's. But I find myself waking up each morning surprised, grateful even, just to be waking up in the morning. And I find myself saying, so I have one more day. What a surprise. What a gift. And the time before me is a gift, an assignment, a grace, maybe even a bit of judgment. And what will we do? What will God do with that time? So did you hear it? Wake up. Stop doing that snooze alarm. You get to wake up and be attentive because God is in the world and you're part of that. So let us be morning people. This morning, tomorrow morning, all the days of our lives. Amen.